of broadband radio, narrowband radio, as well as the household wired internet. So it's kind of neat. Anybody have any questions at this time, please call K2PAR.
Hello, radio, can you hear me now? And 2MH.
I was hoping I could filibuster you back into life. Go ahead, Mark, and explain what that little touchstone thing is at the end of your transmissions. People will want to know. KTBAR.
Okay, very fine. K2BAR and 2MH. I was kind of hoping send it back to me there to see what was going on. I hung up and just replaced the call, and apparently that's all I needed to do. Perhaps correct your description, Gordon, for the folks on the net, last night I was able to get my mesh equipment here up on the tunnel and be able to connect into that network that Randy is running, which connects into other nodes across the country, notably in Texas and in California. This evening, I did some rearrangement here, and I was able to actually place a telephone call from my asterisk PBX here across the mesh into the tunnel out in California, Southern California, across the mesh there into Joe, AE6E. And while I was speaking to Joe on the phone, hold on, let me drop it. While I was on the phone with Joe, AE6E, I conferenced in another asterisk, which I have here, which is connected to a radio, which is what I'm speaking to you on now. And so he was able to hear the net. What we didn't know is that touchtones will not pass through the conference bridge, so therefore neither of us could transmit on the radio at that time. So we ran into a slight problem. But I think the important thing is, I was able to actually place a telephone call across the net, across the mesh network, from northern New Jersey into California, Southern California. Let me drop it. In fact, I am on a VOIP telephone right now, speaking across the mesh into the equipment I had on display at Bergenfield. Now, what you're hearing, what Gordon is talking about, the little touchtone, since I'm on a telephone, I don't have a push-to-talk button. So there's a touchtone sequence that I have to dial on the phone to put the radio into transmit and to put the radio back into receive. Most of those touchtones are muted except for a little bit at the beginning that kind of sneaks through, and that's the little bleep that you hear. Gordon, that's it in a nutshell. Back to you. K2BAR and 2MH.
Thank you, Mark, for that, outline. That's pretty awesome. Now, just for everybody's benefit here, Mark is using broadband hamnet across his house at 2.4 gig with a phone as his device to access another node which has an asterisk server, and that asterisk server is connected to a radio that is accessing, in this case, 146.955, the local repeater that we're using for the net. In addition, he was able to conference in another station in California who was coming in from his mesh across a tunnel to Randy's house, and then tunnel from Randy's house, a second tunnel from Randy's house to Mark's other node. So, and that, of course, then hopped over to his asterisk server and actually conferenced those two in. Mark, I guess one thing we're going to have to work on is passing through touchtones, while on a conference call. That would be definitely a nifty thing to do. And not too hard to do, there are some small challenges that have to be thought through as to what are you going to do as an escape sequence and things like that, but pretty cool. So, have we stirred up interest here? Anybody? questions, K2BAR.
And 2VHC with a comment.
You know, Ken, I hope to actually called you to see if you had a comment, but I figured I'd make it a general one because I didn't know whether you were around because of your intermittent work requirements while you're there. But go ahead, tell us what's on your mind or ask your question. N2VHC, K2BAR.
Okay, yeah, I'm at home. It is my day off. So what you're describing is exactly what we have in place at the radio that has replaced all of our RF equipment. It is called, in the industrial world, it's called Class 1 radio system. Class 1 is just the term they use for that entire system with all these peripheral devices interconnected. And what we have, for example, the train dispatchers use the same system this gentleman described. What their hardware is a headset with a touch screen in front of them where they would be able to change channels by touching which selection they want to go to. They'll have a display of many different channels. They'll select which ones they want to monitor, operate on, or not use at all. And they'll have their volume controls and so forth for the input and output audio, just like Echolink would have, right? But the hardware is very familiar to them because they were able to interface a push-to-talk switch for their headset or a foot switch for their headset, which activates the peripheral device that this is all plugged into. And catch this, it all plugs into a VoIP telephone. And through that phone, it goes up the line, goes to our headquarters in Fort Worth, Texas, gets recorded on the server, and comes back and comes out of the repeater. This is where it goes back into RF and goes out to the handheld radios out in the field or whatever. Now, what used to be instantaneous communications now has an intranet latency time of a few seconds because of the travel distance between Alliance, Nebraska, Fort Worth, Texas, then Alliance, Nebraska again. So they're actually using the same system in the BNSF intranet as a Class 1 radio. Back to you, Gordon.
Well, that's great. That's great. Mark, did you have some thoughts based on your ham VoIP stuff and your professional side?
Okay. I was wondering, it sounded like it was railroaded. It sounds like you worked for the BNSF. Okay. I'm a little surprised they have to send it down to Texas and then back up. I'm surprised they can't do a little bridging somewhere along the line to get rid of that that delay. To be sure, we do have some of that same problem on the PATH system where I do some work for. But that's unavoidable the way it is. And I really am a little surprised they can't figure that out, how to do some bridging. Send it down to the voice recorders in Texas, but still have it go directly to the radio base station at 2MH.
Okay, very good, Mark. Anybody else?
And 2VHC with a comment.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, as a field technician, I'm only authorized a certain level to get my hands into that, but the funny thing is we'll get calls constantly from let's say, our local user, which is the yard tower or so forth, and I'll have to call on my phone the Fort Worth, Texas Control Center and say, and ask them very kindly to bump the bridge, as we call it, you know, clean out the conference bridge. And then once they do that, all communications are restored. We have a lot of problems with the conference bridge getting clogged up. And it's very interesting, you know. And we have remote bases. We have repeaters. We use about 12 channels here in Alliance, Nebraska. And it all runs over the Class 1, as we call it, Class 1 radio. That's exactly what you're describing. Apparently, we
we have a tunnel from here. I don't know. I never heard it described as a tunnel, but a tunnel from here to Fort Worth and back. And it's kind of funny, you know. But the main thing is that they can control our system from there. They actually jump on the radio, do a radio check, Fort Worth, into all of our radios here on a certain channel, is it 70, 49, or whatever. They can stun, they can kill the radios from there. They can do whatever they want. But it's interesting, you know. And it's all getting prepared for the very narrow band or the quarter banding. It doesn't support voice anymore. It's all going to be digital communication. Pure digital, all everything, and who knows when. Back over to Gordon. This is N2VHC, Lyons, Nebraska, back to net.
KD2HPJ, disconnected.
Alrighty, very good.
That was certainly enlightening. Anybody else? Well, we'll have all sorts of neat and interesting folks at future public events, and of course we could also do a an interesting demonstration for Barra or for Fair Lawn or for any other radio clubs. I'd be happy to do it. Alrighty. Are there any other topics people would like to bring up at this time, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is N2VHC.
Go ahead, Ken. Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, my question to you is, I'm going to throw this out. I've noticed QST and other publications, which there aren't many of anymore, but let's say that there's a ham radio subscription service to operate amateur radio equipment over the internet now. For example, there's certain stations, I think there's two of them, two competing entities that have stations strategically placed around different parts of the world, and you pay a subscription fee to enter this this world of theirs, and then you can transmit over their radio, and you can control the radio, actually, from where you're at, for a fee, a monthly fee or a yearly fee and so forth. Some of them are quite expensive, actually, you know, thousands of dollars, actually. And I always thought that that would be considered illegal in order to operate ham radio to have to pay a fee. They're practically making it a subscription service, which it is, and to enjoy your hobby. And I thought it was illegal to do such a thing. And you cannot charge for the use of amateur radio equipment. You know, that would be considered receiving pecuniary interest, or has that regulation changed? I'll put that out to the net and leave it to you, Gordon, to see what you want to do with that question. Am I imagining this? This is illegal, and why is it going on? And maybe you could explain why it's not. K2BAR, this is N2VHC.
That's a great question. Okay, so what they're doing is they're renting you their real estate and the use of their equipment, not getting paid to go on the air. They could care less whether you go on the air. Their financial benefit extends only to your pushing the power button on and tuning the radio, which is fine. The transmitting part it comes with the package for free. They're essentially renting you real estate, virtual real estate, but real estate.
Okay, that's a very kind interpretation of that whole thing that's going on, and I find it to be very odd and very forward that somebody wants that to go on, but, you know, I guess if you want to interpret it that way, yes, but, you know, there's a lot of ways. I'm surprised the FCC hasn't jumped all over that one yet, but I don't think they see any value in that to do that. They have bigger fish to fry. But, okay, I see what you're saying. Back to you, Gordon.
Yeah, well, there's also other issues. Like, there's so many hams in HOA communities, in condos, and the like, where they can't operate, or, you know, MDUs, you know, multiple dwelling units. So this allows them to at least get on the air. It's no different than my renting you my house with its ham shack so that you could operate a contest. And trust trust me, that exists and has existed for decades around the world.
Yeah, especially in Hawaii, obviously. what do they call it, a hamtation?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, over in Europe, they were never allowed to interface Echolink, or actually, you cannot use Echolink for many years, because they consider the interface of the commercial network, which is the telephone, into amateur equipment, cross the line right there, you know? So what happened was, it went around and around, and eventually, I'd say about 10 years ago, don't quote me on the exact time, but while I was living over there, they actually, in one night, it went from zero Echolink stations in Germany to, like, hundreds just overnight. But the biggest problem was trying to get through the firewalls and all these different port addresses on the box, because they had made these boxes practically impenetrable. But we got through it over there, and that was the biggest argument, that you're not allowed to interface the commercial world into amateur radio, because now you're crossing the line. And, you know, I just wanted to, in that mindset, I wanted to present you that issue, and thank you for making that clear. Back to Net.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? Alrighty. Well, I'm going to thank everybody for a really nice night, really nice Net tonight, pardon me for the not one but two timeouts. That was really kind of embarrassing, but I figured that would happen, and certainly did. And I was at least prudent enough to throw up a side tone off of second radio, so I know when the repeater's going away. Hopefully that side tone hasn't been annoying, because it is there. Anyway, I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for using the repeater. Remind everyone that Barra's meeting is Sunday at 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 7 at the Township of Washington in Bergen County Senior Citizen Center, which is also their municipal building. And hopefully you can get there. Tomorrow morning, for those who are around, there's coffee at 9 o'clock at the for Barra at Paramus Park Mall outside the McDonald's, starting at about 8 or 8:30. We do that Tuesdays and Fridays, pardon me, for those who have time. Anyway, take care and God bless everyone. Stay warm, drip whatever water you need to drip if you have pipe issues. This is going to be about 7 degrees tonight, or maybe less. This is K2BAR. Turning the repeater over to normal amateur radio use, and thank you again for a lovely night, W2TTT.
W2TTT from K2EIR.
Hey, Howie, how you feeling?
My throat's a little dry, but actually after I had plenty of Tylenol and ibuprofen, it isn't too bad. I was feeling terrible earlier in the day. I've got one more question, maybe you're the only one around, that I'd like to ask, but I don't care that it's not Annette now, but I happen to be listening on those rare occasions on HF sometime about a week ago, and there were two southern stations on, and one said to the other something, did you know that there's a regulation that if you run more 1500 watts or more or something like that, can't have less or more than a certain amount of drive. I think he said you couldn't have less than 50 watts drive, or maybe you couldn't have more than 50 watts drive. I don't remember how it came out, but that sounded very peculiar. I don't remember reading anything like that, and it also sounded, illogical. So I was wondering if you knew anything about that.
Well, number one, it's wrong. Number two, it sounds like a bunch of gomers acting like a bunch of gomers. And I think I should say no more after that. It's just not factually or, unless someone's just busting horns, I can't imagine that being real.
Yeah, your reaction is very similar to mine. I haven't read all the regulations, and they've certainly been changing over the years. And I didn't know where to find it. I keep meaning to sit down and read them, beginning to end, like.
like I used to. So I have to say the way that they're written these days, and also the way the league presents them, I think it was much more, you know, the old days when you used to buy the 50-cent license manual, it was much more straightforward. It was very understandable. You know, ever since the FCC got so many lawyers, the way this stuff is written now doesn't stick with me, because I just don't identify with it. I guess it's what you might call a paradigm change, or paradigm shift. K2EIR.
WI2W. Yes, please. So I think, well, first of all, the statement was wrong. You can run your 1500 watts, but I think you might have gotten two things mixed up. I think there's a regulation for how much gain an amateur radio amplifier can have. You can only have so many dB of gain, and if you need to go above that, then you need to use an intermediate amplifier. So maybe there was some confusion there.
Well, that's interesting. That would make those gomers sound real.
Yeah, that's interesting to me too. And again, I can't quite see what the logic, why that would be subject to regulation. I mean, it would be a technical thing, but I don't see why there would be regulation.
Steve, you doubled. You lost to Howie.
Yeah, I think it had to do with you know, trying to boost the gain of a CB amp, so they limited the amount of dB. But, you know, I think it's left over from the CB amplifier days.
Okay, so maybe it was like 26 dB or something.
Legislated, regulated. I mean, it is a technical thing, but why would they regulate something like gain? I mean, it's sort of irrelevant to most operations, as long as everything else about it was okay.
Okay, I found it. So it's part, let me see if I have it. Okay, it's part 97, section 97.317, standards for certification of external RF power amplifiers. So, not be capable of amplifying the input RF power driving signal by more than 15 dB gain. So there it is. Exhibit certification, 0 dB gain between 26 and 28 megahertz. There's a few more things in there, but it's 97.317.
Okay. Well, at least it's restricted to, you know, the 10 meter area, broadly speaking. Because otherwise, I think it's asinine.
No, it's not restricted to the 10 meter area. There's a bunch of stipulations. One of them is no more than 15 dB gain, period. Another stipulation is that the amplifier cannot amplify between 26 and 28 megahertz. That's a separate regulation, so you can't use a commercially certified amp on the CB band.
Wait a minute. Is this for a manufactured amp or one that you build at home?
This is for a manufactured amp, one that has FCC certification.
I thought so. So yes, you can build a 30 dB amplifier if you want to, i.e. 1 watt in, 1 kilowatt out. You just can't buy one.
That is correct. And I also don't think you can buy a kit. For example, the Hard Rock 50 folks, they have a small amplifier board. That has to be, you know, you can take your milliwatt signal up to 5 watts and then use it to drive the Hard Rock 50, but I don't think you can mount it in the same case. You got to mount it external. They can't sell it as a kit to do that.
Okay. That works. I feel better now. But you know what? I'm still thinking that's pretty archaic. We don't need that regulation anymore, do we?
Well, I think the high-powered CB amplifiers are going to be self-limiting. You know, if you've ever watched any of the YouTubes where they have these high-power mobile shootouts where they're running 10 kilowatts and they're standing 6 feet away, it's pretty interesting.
No, I haven't watched those, but does it basically involve someone getting injured to the point where they don't do that anymore?
I don't think the injuries are immediate. I think maybe they take time, but I'm just having some fun here. But I've watched a couple of those TV shootouts, and the guys have these big Suburbans with six or seven or eight giant alternators, and they have giant amplifiers and huge antennas sitting on the tops of these things, and then they go away some distance, and they have a shootout using a field strength meter. One of the videos I saw, the guy was standing, I don't know, maybe a quarter mile away, zoomed in, and you could see the hash marks in the video from the fact that the RF was getting into his camera. Pretty amazing stuff. And that's why they build these things, so they can claim, I'm king of the mountain with the strongest signal. Crazy stuff.
Have you ever seen the shootouts for the audio amplifier guys? Same idea.
No, I haven't, but I have seen some other stuff that the audio fools do. It's quite amazing. You know, Denny Hatt from Dentron fame left the amateur radio market and founded a company called Carry Audio and catered to the audiophiles or audio fools, whatever, for a very long time, and then he sold Carry Radio. Now he's retired. I talked to him on the air a few months ago.
Yeah, but that's for should we say the audio, the fixed audio file, not the car audio. I was talking about these. There are people who take their vehicles and do the same thing as the RF guys do, except they essentially leave a you know, audio meter in the car, and they remotely measure the amount of sound inside the car. You couldn't actually be inside; you'd be killed.
No, I haven't seen that, but that sounds entertaining too. Anyway, I'm going to head upstairs and get horizontal, guys. See you later. Good net tonight, Gordon. Nice job. W2TTT and K2EIR WI2W. Good night.
By the way, I think they did an episode of Mythbusters on that, too, just so you know. So I had no idea about it, but it's out there. 7-3, go ahead, Howie, and get better, Steve.
Steve, I hope you're doing better than I feel right now with the lack of voice. 73, get a good night's sleep. You want to follow my own advice. 73 to you, and Gordon, I'm going to say 73 to you also. W2TTT, this is K2EIR.
Okay, guys, just reference, next week I will have a USB-3-based 6-gig spectrum analyzer to discuss on the net that I'm evaluating. I'm evaluating for work, but it's almost, I say almost, something a ham could afford. In fact, some hams who choose to have really nice spectrum analyzers do, but I also found a not portable spectrum analyzer that was used, Rohde & Schwarz, was it SMEM 20 or something, 26 gig spectrum analyzer that was good, that was only about $5,000 to $6,000, which was, it was used, but it was in good shape, so I don't know, we'll see. Film at 11, as they say. All right, good night, boys. Both of you feel better and get better soon. I want to call it quits here, too, myself. K2EIR, WITW, W2TTT.
Disconnected. Alpha, Wilbur, Echo. Listening on Echo. W2PNA. Nothing heard. W2PNA disconnecting.
W2PNE disconnected.
Taking a goodie bag with me, whether she likes it or not, as I'll tell you. I'm not used to being laying there and in between meals, if that's what you want to call those things, meals, not having anything to nosh on.
Yeah, hospital food has never been, stand by a second. It's bleeding over onto 440. Yeah, the food in hospitals hasn't really been anything to write home about.
I don't know if you remember, N1OU, KD2BOR, I don't know if you remember Tuesday morning, the last time they brought me this breakfast that was supposed to be an omelet. Looked like somebody got to the end of a scratch pad and they had the cardboard. They slapped some cheese on it, folded it, and heated it up. I looked at it, I tasted it, I said, this is horrible, but I was so hungry, I closed my eyes and I ate it.
Yeah, you would think being in a hospital, the food would be healthy and wholesome. It tastes good, but yeah, I don't know how they manage to make it so bad. Maybe they just don't use seasonings, I guess.
I can tell you they don't use any seasonings. It tastes like nothing. Even the hamburger they brought me before I got discharged, I wasn't going to eat it, but I tasted it. And then when Debbie walked in the room, I said, where's the salt? There's only pepper here. She goes, you ain't going to get no salt in the hospital.
We use a lot of spices at our plant for different formulas, and we've been told that peppercorns, we put peppercorns in certain items, and peppercorns are like the dirtiest spice you can find. Got more contaminants in peppercorns than anything else. I don't know why. I guess the stuff we get is radiated or irradiated to kill anything, but plus it's getting cooked. But I always found that kind of funny. I never dreamed that peppercorns were like that. And I love fresh ground pepper. I even went out and bought a nice pepper mill for the house. And I'm constantly using fresh ground pepper, but I always think of that when I'm using it.
Yeah, I like fresh ground pepper on my stuff. We keep one out in the patio during the summer. We got one downstairs where we eat. Got one upstairs. Even I use of, I shouldn't use that many, but I use a lot of hot pepper seeds.
Yeah, I'm due to pick up more. I just borrowed some from work. And the bag that I brought home is just about gone. I just filled up the pepper shaker yesterday, as a matter of fact, so I'm due to go out and buy something, and I want to buy something a little bit fancier than what I've been using, just the plain black pepper. I know they sell mixes of different peppercorns. I'd like to try to get that.
I woke up last night for the beginning of the net, so I just rolled over and I had the radio on. I think I heard a whole roll call. Heard one gentleman talking about coax cable and running it through into the house from outside, and I don't remember nothing after that. The next time I woke up, the net was over.
Yeah, I guess that's why some people listen to us early in the morning. It helps them go to sleep.
And Gordon must have been tired. I don't even know how he did it. After he drove his wife to work last night, I talked to him after you got off later on, said he was going back to bed and he had to go into the office yesterday, but I don't know how he made it. He must have had toothpicks in his eyes last night.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, well, he definitely burnt the candle at both ends. I've heard him on this time of the morning, and he hadn't been to sleep yet. I have a hard enough time keeping my eyes open when 7 o'clock rolls around.
I tell you, I watch a lot of TV when I lay down in bed, when I'm ready to go to bed. There's only one problem. My eyelids are watching it.
Yeah, inevitably when I come home, if I lay down on the bed and turn on the TV, about 15 minutes I'm asleep. But I don't sleep for very long. Maybe 20 minutes, half an hour, and then I wake up again. And I feel pretty good after that. Those are my little cat naps in the afternoon. In the summer, I'll go back to going in my car on my lunch break and getting a 10-minute nap in there. But for now, I don't go outside. I don't go to my car anymore until I'm ready to go home. It's too damn cold.
By the time you get your car warmed up on a day like today, it'll be ready for you to go back inside.
I was in pretty good shape then. I was always moving. I worked hard back in the early 70s and 80s. So I could eat a little bit more than I do now, or a little bit worse than I do now. Now, I hate to sound like a woman, but anything I eat goes to my hips.
That's what they call our junk falls down to our trunk.
It ain't easy. I envy these guys. Got a guy at work. Of course, he's a little bit younger than I am, but... And he also plays soccer all the time. Polish guy. And he eats, and he'll come in at the 8 o'clock break, and he'll have a buttered roll with a cup of coffee. But he eats anything and never gains any weight. Skinny as a rail. Got a real fast metabolism.
Did you look at QRZ this morning at all?
Yeah, briefly. Only because I had cable vision at my house yesterday. I spent a couple of hours there. I was having trouble. I wasn't able to get on the internet when I got home. And a couple of my TVs didn't work. I had some bad splitters, some very old splitters, so he'd spent time outside in my crawl space under the family room, changing splitters and cables and stuff. So I did get on, but what did I see? An 8800, is that what you're talking about?
Oh, man, I'm running out of those Kewpie dolls, like I said yesterday. It's like a pretty nice radio, 315 ship separation kit and everything. Original box.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it is a nice radio. I don't know what I'm going to do. I got more radios than I need. I probably should just install one of my existing, maybe this one should go in my wife's car and bring either the other Kenwood back in here or the 857. Just, I like having the 857 for 10-meter FM. It's a lot easier to use than the 440. You know, 440, I have to set up transmit and receive frequencies every time I want to use it.
I had to do that on the 850, and I got to do that on the Elenco. Yeah, the 857 is a lot nicer. I'm enjoying it. As much as I use it, I'm enjoying it.
And to ZNQ listening, would like to interject.
N2ZNQ, N1LU mobile, sounds like a Motorola. Go ahead.
Oh yeah, one of these days I gotta hook this up to the computer and get rid of a few things in it because some of the things are actually annoying, I find. Anyhow, I have to admit, I was on a net tonight for a little bit. It was very informative. It was a lot better than the nets we had here with the amateur, the Yonkers Amateur Radio Club. Can you imagine if we were in our late teens or early 20s at this hour and what we would be talking about? I was just wondering that.
Yeah, let me see if I have it. Yeah, the name here is Charlie, by the way. I often wonder what I would have been doing in my late teens, early 20s, if computer technology was where it is now. You know, when I was that age, I had no dreams of a computer. I had no cell phone. Life was a little bit simpler, and maybe not quite as exciting as it could be, or informative in the way of the internet. And if I have a question, I don't have to call up my brother-in-law or anybody. I just turn on the computer, type in my question, and get my answer. I did that this morning, trying to learn how to customize my Galaxy S5, but that stuff wasn't as prevalent as it is now back in the 70s and 80s. Back to you, and then pass it over to Rocky.
Okay, and to ZNQ. My things were originally, the CB radio craze came out, and, you know, you got a Lafayette Radio Electronics and, you know, Midland Radio Outlets, and you had the President series and a real nice... the 146s and then the 147s from Cobra. I had a lot of good stuff out there, but then some of us graduated to 2 meters, which was kind of like almost the only thing available back then. That was easily attainable. You had the high frequency too, but it was a little bit more costly with the equipment. But I can only imagine a bunch of 21-year-olds on a local 2-meter station talking about what girl was doing, who's got the legs, who's got the panties. I could just imagine the talk that went on back then.
Bedrock.
82 BOR, good evening, Stan. I heard you check into the net last night. I was just listening. I was telling Charlie. I heard the first gentleman come in talking about running coax from the outside to inside his house, and then I was snoring listening to the rest of the net, and I won't go into on ham radio what I would be doing at this time in the morning when I was younger. Over to you, Charlie.
I have really nothing to relate to at that age because I wasn't into CB or ham radio. It was, my life wasn't as complicated and as filled with hobbies as it is now between my computer and my ham radio hobby. I just wasn't into it. I hadn't gotten exposed to it. I wish I had because those were the twilight years of the early years of ham radio. Then everything started going solid state, but I wish I had been involved in radio back then. Over to you, Stan. This is N1LU Mobile coming up to the George Washington Bridge, and I didn't listen to the news. I hope I don't get, I hope I don't have a problem over here. Usually I listen to the traffic, and okay, it looks like it's moving. Very good. Over to you, Stan. N1LU Mobile.
You should do all right. I'm on a little handy talkie Motorola sitting in my living room right now, not even near a window or anything, just hoping it's working. But yeah, well, we had the louder radios in the car. I mean, not like the boom boxes that the other citizens have today, but the nice factory things. And we always put a CB radio in there, and we used to have fun finding each other or whatever the case would be. And of course the girls would talk to each other and stuff, and sometimes it was more fun when they weren't watching us or when they didn't think we were listening to them. Some of the stuff that they would say on the radio would make your face turn red too. But I kind of wish that I had the 2-meter thing back then, because that would have proved to be more interesting, more clear, concise communications, communications that were steady. I timed out. More communications that were reliable. So, it's kind of like, I wonder what the girls would have been saying over a repeater where 10,000 guys could listen to them. Just wondering if things kind of like mixed in together back then, with the crazy boy-girls date things and whatever.
Rocky, I'm going to the apartments.
All right, very good. We'll catch you on the other side. Yes, Stan, 82 BOR. Yeah, those days, early days back in the 11 meters, oh my God, it was nuts. I was in it for a long time. Actually, back in the 70s, I acquired a 2-meter HT. I don't remember how many frequencies were in it. I think it was a crystal radio, but I was listening to 2 meters back then. I tried to go for my ham radio license, but back then, when I was going for, you needed the code, and I just couldn't get the code down. I never continued it. Back to you.
I did do the code. The pain in the ass, too, because I have no memory for remembering stuff like that. All the theory and everything else, I had no problem, but I ended up getting the novice code, whatever, and then the technician class. And I never progressed past the technician class, because at that time, to go to the general, there was no way I'm going to do that fast code for doing a general test, so I never went for the general.
Well, if you listen, you were on the net last night. The guy from the Barra Club or whoever it is was saying when the testing's going to be. If you are interested in getting your general, like he said last night, the question pool that I used in 2013 runs out the end of June. Who knows how hard the next question pool is going to be. I buckled down on it. I did it for 2 weeks on a flashcard test on the internet. 2 weeks solid, I went up and passed it.
that if I can barely pass the technician class test at this point. I mean, I know how to work the radios, and I know how, you know, how the signals are going through the atmosphere and whatever, but, you know, the way they word things in the air, I've got to read it 3 or 4 times sometimes, and I still don't understand what they're talking about. But it's true, I want to get my general tickets. I've got some equipment that I could use as a general operator, but the equipment's just collecting dust at this point. So I think I may do that. I've got a place over here within 10 minutes of drive. It's at one of the Yonkers police stations. Every so often they got the Yonkers Yonkers Amateur Radio Club. They go in there and they have the volunteer examinations, and, you know, it's pass-fail. So I think I'm going to go with that. They're going to have one in March, I believe. So I'm going to review a few materials and see what I can do.
And 2ZNQ. G2BOR, I'll pick up. I'll throw it over to Charlie after this transmission. I took my general test in Yonkers. One of the gentlemen that is a volunteer examiner is AC2T, Paul. And if it's the place you're talking about, they don't hold the test there, as far as I know, anymore. I could be wrong on that. They're doing them at Armont. If you get a hold of the email for AC2T, Paul, they'll be glad to help you out and tell you when they do testing every Saturday, weather permitting. Over to you, Charlie. KD2BOR.
And 1LU Mobile. Armonk, that's quite a ways from Yonkers. But yeah, Paul, AC2T, nice guy. Haven't heard him on in a while. I think he checks into the net on a regular basis. That's going off today, I believe. Can't wait to get my charger, my THF6, so I can start to bring that to work. I want to try to catch that guy that that I worked on HF that lives in Jersey on 220. My THF6 is the only one that does that. Yeah, the I took the general test when it was the code was down to 5 words a minute. I think it started at 13 for general. Then they dropped it. I don't know if they dropped it to 10, then 5, or if they went from 13 to 5, but I took it when it was 5. And I felt that was slow enough for me to learn, and I was able to do that, squeak through that code test. And I haven't looked back. I finally went up to Amateur Extra, and that's as far as you can go. And I only did that for the elbow room. When you're a general, you've got to watch where you go. Certain bands, you can only go so far. All of them you can go to the top of, but a lot of them you can't go all the way to the bottom of until you get the extra class license. So that's why I got that. Now I don't have to worry about where I am. My radio will transmit there. I can transmit there. Back to you, Stan.
Okay, I said a mouthful. My thing is, my next thing will be, I'm going to do mine in steps. So let me get the general first and, you know, get used to some of that equipment and actually run it legally this time, although I wasn't bad with it before. And, you know, getting into that, knowing the nomenclature, knowing the different people out there, because I've got friends that they retired down to South Carolina, and they're always going to some super low frequencies on HF, and they're always bugging me, Stan, we're always on at a certain hour, you know, we go back and forth to upstate New York all the time without a problem. So that's given me some incentive to get my general ticket, and I hope to get it.
At the very least, will you?